All right, turn your Bibles to John chapter 1, beginning with verse 1 there. We're going to read some scriptures. We're going to talk about what Christmas is all about. Christmas is the living word, amen, the Logos, becoming flesh, amen. That's what it's all about. The Logos becoming Jesus, amen. John chapter 1, beginning verse 1 says, in the beginning. That's before anything was there except God. Amen? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He, the Word, the Logos, He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Then verse 14 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The only begotten of the Father. See, He was the only begotten of the Father, Jesus. Hallelujah. Just want to talk about a few things about His birth here this morning. We know, we've already studied how Satan tried to prevent His coming. You know, the angels rebelled and left their proper domain, had sexual relations with human women, and produce hybrid monsters called giants. Amen. And they polluted mankind throughout the earth. And God judged these angels by changing them in total darkness until the great white throne judgment. And He had to judge the ancient world that allowed that to happen with a great flood. And He only found Noah and his family with the perfect DNA that He created a human being to be, not polluted by these ungodly things. And God had to have a perfect bloodline for the woman. He had prophesied over in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, after the fall, He said, and I will put enmity between you, talking to Satan. He says, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you will bruise his heel. And let me say this, bruising the head is fatal, and bruising the heel, you get over it. Amen? You ever had a bruised heel? I've had a bruised heel. My right heel was bruised here, you know, and I was having a problem with it. And then the first thing I know, it quit, you know, just felt fine. And then the left one started feeling bruised and healed. But bless God, it'll be healed too. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank God you can get a bruised heel, but you can't get a bruised head. Hallelujah. Not if you take your authority in Jesus that you have. Amen? Hallelujah. So God promised the seed, singular, referring to Christ, of the woman. Amen. You know, when God promises something, you know, some things He promises, you don't even have to be believed for, it's going to happen. Amen. But our everyday walk, the promises of God, we have to believe for them. Amen. But some promises, when He says, when He made this, when He personally prophesied this in Genesis 3:15, they ain't no power in the universe can stop it from happening, and it happened. Amen. Even though Satan did all he could to prevent it from happening. Amen. Before the flood and after the flood. And the Word, this eternal Word we just read about, the second person of the Godhead, was willing to step out of the glories of heaven and be born of a woman. And we know the story, how it says the Holy Ghost overshadowed the woman, the virgin woman. God had to find that little woman, virgin, righteous woman, that would do what the angel, the word of the Lord, the angel brought the word of the Lord to her. And what did she say? Be it unto me according to your word. Amen. If she had not said that, he'd had to go look for another one. But I guarantee you he'd have found one. Amen. But he found one in Mary. And Mary said, be it unto me according to your word. And we know the story, you know, how they had to go to, she was pregnant, and they were traveling to Bethlehem because of the census that the king had called, you know. Everybody had to be counted. They didn't want to miss no taxes. You know, that happens today, too. They ever so often, you know, they'll do those door-to-door finding outs. Make sure they know where everybody's at, got everybody's name, because they don't want to miss no taxes. Well, that's what was taking place here. Bethlehem, and couldn't find an inn. Luke 2:7 says, and she brought forth her firstborn son. Now, firstborn, she had other sons. Amen. I think some daughters too. She brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths. You might want to unline that swaddling cloths. And laid him in a manger. Manger's a feed trough. Because there was no room for them in the inn. They laid him in a feeding trough when he was born. And they put him in swaddling cloths, swaddling clothes. And there's a story behind those swaddling clothes. There's been all kind of theories about swaddling, what these swaddling clothes were. Really, they were not what we'd call diapers today. Even though there's some misnomers about that's not really what happened. If you go back and study the history of the Jewish people and their traditions, this is where you find out what really happened to him. It had nothing to do with, with a child being born. They did do it when they were circumcised. They also bound them up in these type cloths. But here's the story of swaddling cloths in the Middle East. At this time in the Middle East, when people traveled, they were often met with many hardships and trials on their journey. And we think it's dangerous today, but there were a lot of deaths as people traveled, even the Middle East, even as it is today. And in the event of death, the body could not continue to be transported for many days. And for this reason, travelers wrapped a thin, gauze-like cloth around their waist many times. Many times. And you know what this was? Burial cloths. And if someone died on the journey, the others would use this cloth, referred to as swaddling clothes, to wrap the corpse in before burying them. When Jesus was born, there was no room in the inn, so Mary and Joseph used this nearby stable for his birth. And with no other cloth to use, Jesus was wrapped in Joseph's swaddling clothes. The cloth normally reserved for a person's death. Just think about that. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords came into the world in a lowly manger and was wrapped with burial cloths. In truth, because he was born to die for you and me. He was born and died for you and me. Now, we can back this up over in Luke. You know, Luke's talking about the birth of Jesus. And you remember how the angels went to the shepherds in the field? You remember that? I want to find it here in just a minute. We're going to read it. I didn't put that in my notes. But let's see if I can find it here. Chapter 2, verse 8. Okay. Chapter 2, verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. Now look at this. These angels are telling these shepherds there's going to be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. So the sign was this babe wrapped in swaddling clothes in a manger. Y'all getting the picture of this? So why did the angels go to the shepherds first after his birth and give them this sign? This is the sign. He'll be this babe in a manger, in a stable, in a feed trough, will be wrapped in swaddling clothes. These were not normal shepherds. I'm going to tell y'all something about this. This is where you have to go back and study the history of this, also the Jewish history of this. These were not normal shepherds. These is really what they called back then shepherd priests. Now, why did they call them that? These were the shepherds who delivered and cared for and raised the lambs used sacrificially in the temple. This is the kind of shepherds they were. And right after birth, as part of their ceremony to keep the animal from blemish, because see, that lamb had to be a lamb without blemish. They couldn't take these lambs that into the temple and sacrifice them if they were blemished. So they would wrap these lambs in swaddling cloths to keep them from becoming blemished. This is one of the things they did. And they knew that the Savior who would be born, the Messiah, who would be slain for the redemption of their sins. And they would they understood what the angels were telling them when they said, the sign is you're going to find a babe in a manger wrapped in swaddling clothes. And let's talk about these three wise men from the east. You know, there was really three caravans that brought these. Maybe each wise man led a caravan. There was a whole caravan. Three caravans come from afar with all the supplies and everything they were going to need on this long journey. And the treasure that was in that caravan. You know, you read about it there in Luke. Gold, silver, myrrh. They use what myrrh? What do they use myrrh for? They use myrrh in burial. But all that treasure, read about it right there in Luke, so you can read about it. All that treasure. Now, what do you think God wanted them to bring that treasure to the Savior, the babe that would be the Savior of the world? They really were bringing it to his stepfather and mother, even though he had to preserve the father and mother in order to preserve the babe. How many know it takes money? It takes resources. Now listen what happened. When they got there, he was no longer in the stable. He was in a house. They were in a house. And he was a small child. And we know how the devil was still working, see, to try to prevent the seed of that woman from doing what God wanted it to do. He had all those children about the age that child was. All those children were killed. But God preserved the Savior through his stepfather and mother. Yes. And the angel came to Joseph and told Joseph to take the child and do what? Go to Egypt. Now, how many know it would take money to do that? It would take money to go down there and live in Egypt like they did and have the provision they needed to take care of that child and themselves. See, God is El Shaddai. He's the Lord God Almighty. He's the all-sufficient one. He's the God of more than enough. And you know, just like he took care of Jesus and his family, he wants to take care of you and your family. Amen. And you know, I'm sure that that provision, that great provision that he had those wise men bring to Jesus and the family, carried them on even after they got back in to the country. After Herod was died, you know, God sent word to him, you know, by the angel, you can come back now. And they came back to Nazareth. And Jesus was raised into manhood there in Nazareth. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. God's in control. He's in control there and he's in control now. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now I want us to look at three characteristics of Christ the Word here. Three characteristics of Christ the Word. I want us to look at the Word, number one, the Word's relationship with God. His relationship with God. Colossians 1:15 says, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. We know from the scripture we read here this morning that Christ preexisted with God before the creation of the world. He was the second person of the Godhead existing with God the Father and the Holy Spirit from eternity. And even though he was distinct from, but in fellowship with the Father. Amen. Christ was divine. He was called the Logos, the Word of God. The Logos of God. He had the same nature and essence as the Father. Amen. Even after he was born into this world, he still had the nature and the essence of the Father. But what he done, he gave up all the attributes of that when he was born into the world. It tells us that over in Colossians. He gave up all the attributes of that. And Colossians 2:9 in the Amplified Bible puts it this way, For in him the whole fullness of deity, the Godhead, continues to dwell in bodily form, giving complete expression of the divine nature. In other words, Jesus was born into the world. He was still God. He was 100% God, but he was now also 100% man. And because he was 100% man, he chose to give up the attributes he had as God, the Logos, the eternal God there, as the second person of the Godhead that he'd always had with the Father. He chose to give up that while he was here as a man on the earth, because a man had to redeem us. A man anointed by the Holy Ghost had to redeem mankind. And to do that, he had to be born into the world. And when you look at Jesus, you can know what God's like, because he was still God. You want to know what God's like? Read about Jesus. Read about Jesus in the Gospels. Because Jesus put a face on God for us. Amen. Because he was God. He said so many times, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He even said, I do nothing except that which I see the Father do. Amen. So if you know what Jesus is like, look at, I mean, you want to know what God's like, look at Jesus, because Jesus was fully God. He was divine. Amen. He's the firstborn from the dead. Amen. And then his relationship to the world. The Word's relationship to the world. Hebrews 1:2 says, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. That's Hebrews 1:2. He not only made this world, he made all the worlds, all the planets you see in the universe. And you can't see them all. All the scientists can see with the telescopes is what's in our, what they call our galaxy. And they know there's other galaxies and galaxies and galaxies and galaxies and galaxies and galaxies. But what he really wanted, he put down here on this planet Earth. Hallelujah. John says all things were made through him, including all creations, creatures of creation. John 1:3, we read it. All things were made through him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. Everything you see created in this earth, he created. The Creator himself came and his own people rejected him as a whole. The Jews rejected him. He's the author and the creator of the world. You know, John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world, he's talking about everybody in the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. So Jesus, you know, we're talking about his relationship to the world. Hey, he made it. He created it. Yet he was born into this world as a human being, and the people that had been prophesied to him for centuries, they would not accept him when he came because of the deception of Satan. And it's still going on today, the deception of Satan. 2 Corinthians 4:4, how the god of this world, who is that? Little g god? Satan blinds the minds of the unbeliever to prevent them from being able to understand who Jesus is and what Jesus has done for them. And you know, we're left here to proclaim that to the world, to get the message to the world. The Word of God concerning Christ. And our prayers is what's going to break through the darkness over people's eyes of understanding. See, because Satan has blinded the eyes of their understanding. I want you to look at that scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Well, let's start with verse 3. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. Now thank God, if you're sitting here today and you're born again, when you got born again, you became a child of God. Could just say you became a, you know, Jesus is your big brother now. For even if our gospel, the good news, that he's talking about the good news concerning Christ, who he is and what he's done, is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds, those who are perishing, Why are they perishing? Their minds, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. And he goes on to say, for we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sakes. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now you go back to the scripture we read in John 1:1, it says, in him was life, that's Zoe, that's the God kind of life that he brought to the world. And he says, and the life was the light of men. When you receive eternal life, it's because the light has already broken through. And you're no longer deceived about who Jesus is. And it says, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. In other words, it means the darkness could not put it out. Darkness will never put out the light of God. Because you put out God's light. You put the light out, you put God out. And what happens to us in the new birth? Our candle, our lamp, that's your spirit, got lit. Amen. And you became a new creature in Christ. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. Hallelujah. Now, he did that for everybody. No exceptions. But look, you know, I know as a pastor, I've heard this so many times from people. When you'd witness to them, you'd share Christ with them. This is the kind of deception he puts on people. They'd say, well, now, I don't think I'm ready for that yet. Now, well, why are you saying that? Well, I just don't think I'm good enough to receive that yet. See what deception that is? See, he deceives people into thinking that they're not good enough to receive the light and the life of God into them. That's been provided by the Son, Jesus Christ. And they'll tell you, oh, I believe in Jesus, but I'm just not ready for that yet. In other words, they say they've made some kind of mental assent to Jesus, but they just don't think they're ready to receive what you're telling them. Who he really is and what he's really done for them because of that deception over their minds. Now, I don't know where you got, I don't know when the light broke through on you, but I'm going to tell you, it broke through on me in church. I'd heard it, and I, in church, then I started going to church, and I started hearing it. And all of a sudden, the right word came that broke through the darkness over my life. And I realized there wasn't going to be anything I could do to ever earn it or deserve it. It's what he has done for everyone in the world. Every person. He's done it for all. No exceptions. And not because they could get good enough or because they could earn it. It's because they couldn't get good enough and they couldn't earn it that he had to come and do what he did. Be born into the earth as a babe through a woman. You know, that's a nasty way to come to start with. But that's why he had to come, because he had to do it as a man. And then it brings us to point three here, the Word's relationship to humanity. John 1, verse 14 says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Full of grace and truth. Say it, grace and truth. Because there's a lot being preached about the grace of God that leaves out the truth. That's the reason I'm making that statement. You're hearing a lot today about the grace of God that leaves out the truth. Let me tell you what part of that truth is. Not only do you have to repent to receive Christ, ask forgiveness of your sins and repent, ask forgiveness of your sins to receive Christ. But once you're born again, you're going to still miss the mark. And when you miss the mark, we've got to learn to be quick to repent. Amen. Quick to repent. Amen. That's truth that goes with the grace.
Amen.
After you're saved. He brought us grace and truth. And thank God for the grace. But thank God for the truth too. He is grace and He is truth. The Spirit of God here is with us today. And the Spirit of God is grace in the earth today. And He is the truth of God in the earth today. He's called the Spirit of Truth. Spirit of Truth. And yes, truth goes with grace. The Spirit of God is the enabling presence of God here to do what we can't do. See, everybody thinks, well, I got to get good enough to be saved. Well, you can't get good enough to be saved. That's why it's so important. We invite people. We encourage people. We bring people to church. And that don't mean we quit. We stop one-on-one witnessing out there. If you get them out there, then you need to bring them to church. Because they need to really learn more truth, don't they? And we're still learning truth. I hope. I am. I hope you are. Glory to God. And I believe you are. Amen. So the light of God came into the darkness of humanity. John 1, 4, 5, "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness could not comprehend it, could not overcome it." And it'll never be able to overcome it. Hallelujah. He created us and became one of us to redeem us. Hebrews 2, 9 says, But we see Jesus, who was made lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. Because He's tasted death for everyone. See? By the grace of God, He tasted death for everyone. That's why no one is going to have to get good enough to receive what He's done for us. No, we don't deserve it. We deserve hell. But when it says he tasted death, He tasted every kind of death for us. If He didn't taste every kind of death for us, then we've got one to taste or two to taste or whatever. He tasted every kind of death for mankind. He tasted physical death on the cross. But it didn't end there. There's a spiritual death He tasted. And He tasted the justice for the spiritual death. We're all in spiritual death. Until we know Christ, we're in spiritual death. Separated, alienated from God. He went into spiritual death as our substitute. And as our substitute, He experienced the judgment of God for spiritual death. Now the Bible says the one sin that's sin in your hell is rejecting him. What he's done for you. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. Gave up all those attributes as God in glory. Philippians 2:7 is the scripture. But made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of men. Tempted in all points as we're tempted, yet without sin. Think about that. He walked perfectly before a perfect Father. Tempted in every point of temptation the devil has, yet without sin. See, he had to be that perfect lamb without blemish. The Lamb of God had to be perfect without blemish. Yet he had to experience every temptation that we have experienced, that the devil has in his bag of temptations. Think about that. Yet without sin. And you know, in the, what we call the temptation of Christ there, when the devil came with him, you know, and offered him all the kingdoms of this world. That are right, you see? Now the kingdoms of this world are in the devil's hands, but not going to stay there. Every time we get somebody born again, we're getting part of his kingdom. Amen. We're getting part of his kingdom translated into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. It says the kingdom of this world, all the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of the Son. Tempted in all points, yet without sin. Walked perfectly before a perfect Father. God became man. That's what we call the incarnation. It's in the incarnation. God became man. God found a willing, righteous woman, virgin woman in her covenant with God that was willing to be what God wanted her to be, the mother of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And without the intervention of a human father, but giving birth through Mary while she was still a virgin. Luke 1:35. And the angel answered and said to her, because she said, how can I get pregnant and have a child, and I've never known a man? That was her question to this angel. And the angel said to her, Luke 1:35, and the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. And they even told him what his name was to be. Jesus. Savior. The Holy Spirit just overshadowed her like a cloud. I believe a cloud of brilliance. A cloud of brilliant light. Because God is light. And he planted the seed. The seed. Christ. The second person of the Godhead, the Logos. He planted the Logos in her. just like you was planted as a seed in your mother's womb by natural man. The seed of the woman was planted in her by a supernatural God. Amen. It wasn't the same way that the seed was planted in you, but it, when God would, God in His brilliance would, He overshadowed her and planted the eternal Word in her. Amen. And that's what we're celebrating at Christmas. The Holy Spirit exerting the creative power in the womb of Mary, planting the person of the eternal Word as a seed in her. The seed of the woman. Prophesied in Genesis 3:15. The seed of the woman. And see, natural man can understand that. That's why a natural man... See, once you accept Christ and you become a new creature in Christ, you're no longer a natural man, a natural human being. You're no longer a natural human being when you accept Christ, when you become a new creation in Christ. You are a supernatural being in Christ when you accept Christ. And you have a supernatural God in you that's working through your spirit to your outward man. And we have to cooperate with Him, don't we?
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
We have to cooperate with Him. Because He made us free will creatures. Free will creatures. Hallelujah. And just think about what we celebrate at Christmas. The birth. The birth of Christ. The birth of the seed of the woman. The birth of God into the world. God with us. And He came to be with us to redeem us. And to redeem us, He had to die. Now we're all born to die. Unless you're part of that special generation that won't see death. We're born to die too. But we're not born to die the way He died. And at the age He died. In his prime as a human being is when He gave His life. After 33 years. You know when your prime of your life was? 33 years, when you was 33 years old. But really, it's when you accept Christ, isn't it?
Amen.
You may look the best you ever looked when you're 33. Start going downhill then, from then, you know. Because you get older.
Amen.
And the reason you get older is because He wanted you born again.
Amen.
And as you got born again, He wanted you to be here to carry forth that great commission of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, who He was and what He's done for humanity.
Amen.
And He's no respecter of persons. He did it for all.
Amen.
That's right. Hallelujah. And you can't get too bad. He don't run out of chances for you to get it. Because He is long suffering. If He wasn't long suffering, Jesus has already come. God wants to get everyone He can. He born again. And that's the only reason He hadn't come, I believe. Because he's long-suffering. He's not willing that any perish, but all come to a knowledge of repentance and a knowledge of him through his son, Jesus Christ. Even though all of them won't, because so many of them has already gone to hell. But he wants to get everyone he can. And that's why he left us here as born-again believers. He leaves us here. He's got to use us to get everyone he possibly can. Christ in you, the what? Hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you is the hope of glory for those out there in darkness. Hey, we have it. We've already got it. And it's that glory in us that's the hope of those out there.
Yes, it is.
And we don't need to hide the glory that's in here.
No.
Amen. Especially in these special times. Hey, well, all the time, but you know, Christians get so caught up in celebration in this season of the year that we sort of end up through the celebration. I'm talking about the partying now, you know. Decoration, parties and all that. We can get so caught up in that that we hide the glory. And you'd be amazed how many people, even here in America, don't really understand what Christmas is all about. They think Christmas is just a party time. They don't understand why we party. We got to let them know why we party. Amen.
Amen?
Well, every head bowed, every eye closed. Father God, I pray right now if it'd be one of the sound of my voice. I want to get the music people back up on the platform.